Welcome back to another episode of NFT Catcher Podcast. We'd like to remind everybody that nothing on the show is meant as financial advice, and to please do your own research. Thank you, and enjoy the show.
Now the subject is NFTs.
They're known as non-fungible tokens, or NFTs.
NFTs are exploding in popularity.
This is a technology that will forever change the way people interact.
So it is happening whether you understand it and like it or not.
This phenomenon is moving the digital.
You have now joined Jenny from the blockchain and Michael Keen on the NFT Catcher Podcast.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the NFT Catcher Podcast with me, Jenny from the Blockchain, and my co-host, Michael Keen. This is our special one-year anniversary or birthday, whatever you want to call it, our special one-year episode. It has officially been 1 year since we started this podcast. Wow.
Can't believe it. Yeah. A year, so 77-some episodes. Amazing.
Yes. Man, it's been so amazing. I don't know if I should say my speech now that I wrote.
I think you probably should now that you teased it. Okay, let's hear what you wrote. I can't wait.
Let's jump into it. Okay. All right. The NFT Catcher Podcast, our podcast, is something that I am deeply proud of. 1 year, 77 episodes, 240,000 downloads, 79 reviews on Apple, 111 ratings on Spotify, over 35 episodes with special guests, meeting listeners in real life, hundreds of hours poured into this podcast that we are so passionate about. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for listening to our weekly recaps. Thank you for listening to our interviews with builders, founders, collectors, passionate people working in Web3. Thank you for our kind reviews. Thank you for your kind reviews, your kind DMs, your kind thoughts that you think about this podcast. Thank you for being here with us and growing with us. Thank you to our day ones. Thank you to our loyal listeners who listen while working, working out, driving, traveling, eating, while doing nothing. Thank you to It's Just Los for making our theme song. Thank you to Andy for producing all of these episodes and running our Twitter. Thank you to Michael for preparing notes for every single Sunday recap episode and making it a point to record even when he's traveling to different countries. Thank you to our family and friends who support and listen to the pod. Thank you to all of our guests who have given us their time to share their wisdom and their stories. I'm so happy to have this podcast be a big part of my Web3 journey, and I'm excited to continue this journey. Today is a special day. Happy birthday to the NFT Catcher Podcast. We appreciate everyone who has been a part of this journey in one way or another. End speech.
Wow. Kind of brings a tear to my eye. That's beautiful. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
A year, like, it's funny. A year seems like a long time, and then it seems like it goes fast at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting dynamic, but it's been amazing. I reiterate all that. That was really nice. Our fans are amazing. I mean, meeting them, like, I love walking around. I walk around almost every day now because I have like five NFT Catcher t-shirts, NFT Catcher podcast t-shirt. So I always, because I want people to start a conversation. No one's going to know to talk to me about NFTs any other way. But I am starting to get more. There was like a kid at the baseball game the other day that was like, NFTs, huh? Like, looked at my shirt. It was like a 12-year-old kid. It's like, what do you know about NFTs? You know, like, people, when I first started wearing it, you know, I wasn't getting any comments, and they're starting to come. So
I love that.
It's been awesome.
I mean, it's crazy how many people have come into this space since we started the pod. I mean, you know, when we started it, it felt like everyone was hoping and praying that NFTs would become mainstream. And now it almost feels like they are. Like, it almost feels like everybody knows about them. And it's been really cool to just be a part of that journey and to be here along the way, like, recording the progress and talking about, you know, the big news and things that have been happening in this space and keeping everyone informed and all that.
Yeah, really pretty much everyone knows about NFTs now. Like, there's not a lot of people that don't know. 75% of them might think it's a scam, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, that's true.
People, everybody.
That is true.
Yeah, I was at a wedding with my wife's family. One of her uncles was like, so why would I ever want one of these things? And he was like, it's hard to explain in the middle of like a horrible bear market. Like, why yeah. you should get mm-hmm. into it? You know, it's like, well, it is, everything is down 90%, but, but it's going to be amazing. There's one technology. Or two. There's one or two of these, and I have no idea which ones that are really going to be amazing. Yeah. It's all about the technology. Can still explain it. I'm joking, but it is an interesting dynamic. It is crazy to see how far it's come in a year. All the websites that have popped up, all the businesses around it. Like it really, I mean, it's going to be here to stay. What's the next iteration look like? We will see. We need to bring consumers in, which is going to start happening. It is happening. But that's really, you know, where it needs to go is people that want to buy them, not just like speculating on them.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll be here for it, you know, to provide you guys with some quality information.
Yes.
I also wanted to say, probably by the time you guys hear this, on our Twitter, we will have tweeted out. We will have co-tweeted out, which I need to give full credit to Michael for literally writing all this. Like, it was so good. He deserves the credit because he did it. But he put together a whole co-tweet thread about a sentence or two about each and every one of the guests we've had on, linking to each episode, and just really a special 1 year tweet thread about this pod.
We've had some amazing guests. I have to thank everybody that's come on, like real heavy hitters in the game, our friends, like awesome insight. And what's really cool, I think, is that we kind of handpick our guests. We get on together, the three of us, and we chat about it. Who do we want to reach out to? Mm-hmm. You know, we get a lot of requests that we're just like, you know, I'm sure that people will be interesting, but they're going on all these different podcasts, and we really almost to a person have gotten on people and projects that we really want to, and we really care about, and we're genuinely interested in. So that's been really cool. I'm really proud of the group of people we've had on that will show in that tweet tomorrow, I think.
Hey, yeah, 100%. Yeah. A lot of the friends we've made in this space have gone on to build amazing things and really integrate into Web3. You know, and then do a lot of creating. And so it's awesome to be able to showcase that on our pod and even reaching out to people that we wouldn't think, you know, would say yes. Like someone recently, I don't know if I should spill the beans, who I've looked up to and since I've gotten into NFTs, you know, just reached out, I guess I'll say, and hopefully they don't flake, because that would be embarrassing if they flake. But DCL blogger, you know, and just reaching out and saying, you know, I've really looked up to you in the space, you know, for the last year and a half, and would love to have you on the show, and him saying yes. And it's like, woo, victory. Yeah. And just getting on these people that it's like, wow, you know, because we've also built up this reputation with the podcast too, it makes it easier, for these like high level people and, you know, really respected people in the space to be able to say yes and want to come chat with us on our podcast, which is really awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be a great one. Medicaid and all that.
Totally. That'll be a fun one.
Yeah. So let's break into some of the news going on. There's a big, Tiffany's, they're labeling it NFTiff. They're dropping 250 pendants, and you have to be a punk owner, and there's only going to be 250 of them. They're charging a modest 30 ETH each for these.
Casual.
Yeah.
What is 30 ETH? Is that 45K right now? Or
it's a little more than that. Yep. It's pushing 50 because ETH is 16 and a quarter or so.
Wow.
Yep. So it's a cool 50 grand. A floor punk is like 128 right now, the last I looked.
128 ETH or 128K?
1,000. Yeah, got US. It. If we're talking, so it's like if you're looking for that combo, it's like 175 grand to buy, which honestly like might not be the worst deal. The longer this, like these things go on, I'm like really bullish on the punks long term. Yeah. It's like the easiest one to really crush it. It's going to be super important no matter what. I think a lot of punks are probably dead in wallets that nobody can touch or people have passed away or don't even know about. Like, there's a lot of that going on.
Do we think this will sell out? Because 30 ETH, yes, there's only 250. Right. It is a high price point. But then again, it is punk owners.
Right.
I mean, everyone kind of has this notion of, oh, punk owners are the smart people and they're the rich people. And like, I don't know. That's I guess, my bias towards
one punk question owners. I would have.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off there.
Oh, no,
yeah, you're right. One question I would have is, if you own 10 punks, like, can Gary V buy 5 pendants? Probably.
Isn't it one per? Oh, I need to look into that. I thought it was kind of like one per.
Well, if it's one per wallet, you just move it to another wallet if you really want to do that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, how many punks does Gary V have? Doesn't he have?
He's got like 60 some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's a punk whale. He's a punk whale for sure.
He wants a bunch of necklaces to wear. I actually saw this coming though, because didn't you see this coming? Don't you remember when Alexander, I don't know what his relationship is to Tiffany & Co. And sorry if he's like the CEO or something, but he had literally tweeted out a picture of like his punk being made as like a Tiffany pendant like months ago. And I was like, what's this all about?
Yep.
And so it was like a teaser for it. Oh, who else has it? Oh, I forget his name. Is it the CEO of Chain who has that alien punk? Like, he had one already made for him, I believe. And so, yeah, I think there were like some secret hints about this already.
Yeah.
And I know
there some probably were. And there was like, there was that big run on punks when the floor went from like 48 to 68, like 6 weeks ago.
So maybe whatever, some people knew about this.
Yeah,
that's true.
Everyone was saying, I wonder what the news is coming.
Yeah.
I heard Non-Fungible Noah on Rug Radio. He's the guy that you get tapped to kind of like be the brand ambassador for the punks and the Meebits. He was talking about, you know, this is probably going to be the first thing that they do. And there's going to be other cool stuff like that where like they're not actually affiliated. It's not like a Yuga Labs is not affiliated with this. They're just doing it and they're token gating it for the punks. It was kind of cool. And on August 15th is the day they're going to be releasing like the rights that punks and Meebits have, or at least punks, you know how they, cause they said they're changing the commercial rights. So they're going to, that's the day they're going to be releasing it. And then right after that is the Tiffany drop. So they're definitely working like in cahoots and doing something. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, it's not for everybody. Like, most people can't afford 30 ETH, don't have a punk. So it's like,
yeah,
it is what it is. Sure. Do I think it'll sell out? My guess is the FOMO will make it sell out, because there will be some people that'll buy it and they'll try and flip it immediately.
Really? You think people will try to? Huh, yeah, that's interesting.
Of course. We'll look at it when it goes down.
I'm like, curious to see.
Because if there's not secondary sales, the floor would go to 100 ETH. Like, there has to be some people selling it. So like, and honestly, it might not be that many people. Like, it could, it's almost a no-brainer, I guess, at that point, if you think about it. And then what do you think about somebody going to buy a pendant that's not your own punk? That's kind of weird.
Well, to rock it. I mean, you have to have a punk in your wallet to be able to buy it.
Right. Like, but so then like, if you sell it to somebody else and they like on the secondary.
Oh.
And then.
Yeah. Yeah. How does that work? Yeah. So right.
And then does that person get the, and I guess eventually those things are going to be, there's going to be the pendant and there's going to be the NFT. So like after you get the pendant, you could sell the NFT. I can't imagine it being worth all that much at that point.
Right. But, well, isn't it like an NFT version of the pendant?
Probably. That's probably exactly what it is. Maybe even like the picture they showed where it's like, you could see the diamonds like going into it.
Right. Yeah. The preview of what it would look like for you.
That would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, imagine you just see someone rocking that. I mean, only 250 people. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'd be pumped to see. Although some people are definitely more, especially punk owners who are notoriously known for being super cautious with their security measures and anonymous and not wanting to display their wealth. Good point. You know, yeah, you have to think about that too. But of course, there's always the people that don't care and that will want to display their wealth. So
yeah, and they'll go into safe deposit boxes, some of them too.
Because
You know, like imagine selling that in 10 years as a combo punk, and you get the Tiffany pendant.
Get
the original Tiffany really pendant, like
inside the box here. Yeah, that's good. That's some good.
So I do personally think it will sell out. The FOMO at least with the FOMO, I do think it will sell out.
Yeah,
probably pretty quick.
There's a lot of people that saw that post. A lot of like that's like the big news.
Pretty crazy. So somebody claimed to be Pac. I had to talk about on here. I wanted to talk about Pac and 888 and Sartoshi and the whole like the anonymous and leaving. And like, not all these people left, but like, are they the same? Are they different? Each of them has kind of a different story. Pac is starting to get a lot of FUD. I know 888 is big time.
Yeah.
And like the Sartoshi thing, like it's kind of like he did what he promised. Like he didn't promise anything and he delivered that. You know what I mean? And like, but he really like took a lot on the way out the door.
Yeah. Yeah. He did.
But he didn't hold a gun to anybody's head. Like, but
yeah.
But,
it's tough. I mean, I saw the 888 thing. I mean, first of all, you know, he just kind of disappeared and then everyone, Zach XBT made like a threat about him, which that's always a red flag. If Zach XBT makes a threat about you, you're done. Like investigator.
I know. I love those threads. And it's much needed. Yeah. A lot of them about the rugs and being like, all these people are the same. And like,
I love the people doing the wash
trades to get up on the open sea. Yep. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So then he magically reappeared and was like, guys, I'm building. And then that's it. He turned off the comments. Like nobody.
I believe 888 claimed to be having personal issues.
He said he was going through a divorce. But he said that after the fact. Like, it's not like he
right,
was like,
you're right. It's like, the
you know what? I'm going to be going, like, I'm going through divorce. I'm going to take a break. Like, he just kind of disappeared.
Right.
And then when everybody was like, this dude scammed and he rugged, he came back and said, oh, I'm going through personal things.
So you're calling BS?
Yeah, I am. Because also, someone who used to work with him, and she said she kind of got like shady vibes, and just, it sucks because like, it's like these people like pretend to be something that they're not, and they'll like display a certain persona. You know, for his thing, he was very much about 888 and the universe, and
he was pumping that thing like crazy.
Yeah, and it sucks because there are people that actually believe in angel numbers. You know, I'm a huge fan of, I believe, you know, what you put out, you get back, like all that type of thing. And it's like people taking advantage of that, like, and then not even like believing it and kind of just using it as a way to make money, like that just feels really wrong. And then whole thing with BT, the artist, you know, they did that collab, and then it was just getting so messy on Twitter with all that.
Yeah, do you remember the video that the 888 put out in the new world, 888tnw.com? It was like a year ago. It like blew my mind, this video. I was like, it's still awesome to watch. It's still on there. And it lists like all these artists, all the best artists in the space he says he's working with. And this just never really, like, he had that. And then he had that project. It was just like the tweet that
he minted his tweet,
pumped that up.
And then he would literally be like, this thing is like, it's always a red flag.
It's
going to
change your life.
Well, it's always a red flag when founders talk about like the price, like, anybody selling less than this price is going to regret it. And, this is going to go to this floor. Like, it's like, as a founder, you're not supposed to really say that. That just feels like, it just feels like you're just trying to pump things, which he was, you know, he wanted the floor to be
completely
8.88 ETH. And it's like, that's just wrong. If things naturally go to that way, then they will. But, and I don't know, what is the floor now? I mean,
0.1175.
Jeez. Yeah.
I bought one at like 0.3 and sold it for like 3 ETH like 2 weeks later.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I know.
I actually remember when you did that.
Yeah. And that was a good flip. I mean, and I got out of it because I was like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I kept thinking to myself, I might regret it, but like, I don't know. It's probably good to buy now.
Oh my God. No, Michael.
It might be good to buy. Like,
Yeah, it might be a rug, but
no, you know what? It might be, but the risk reward involved with that 0.1175.
No, but here's the thing. You vote with your ETH.
Like, I know you say that a lot. I do feel like about that
because I'm also, I think about that so much with food.
Right.
You know, buying fast food, you're voting for that. You're voting for whatever it is that you buy.
Right.
I do think about that a lot. Especially with health, you know, it's just like, it's the same thing with NFTs. Yes, maybe you have the opportunity to make money some way, but just remember that whatever you're buying, you are voting for. And I know it's so much easier to kind of think that and okay, say it in your mind, but then when push comes to shove, sometimes your emotions get the best of you, or you just get a little greedy, or you know, whatever, you're a trader. It is what it is. That's just my two cents that I always like to throw in there.
I hear that. And also, anything you ever buy sits in your wallet and people can see it.
Yeah.
If you buy one of these like weird, like racist ones, like, I don't know, the Saudis or the Jews.
Oh my God. I remember I bought a crypto dick butt, like version 2. Yeah. And immediately, I was like, oh no, it's on the blockchain forever. Like, I was like so embarrassed. I'm
forever.
Like, no. Even though
grandmom, what's a crypto dick butt?
I'm like, damn it, why did I buy this? It's forever on the blockchain. And then I like...
It's like getting a tattoo. Buying an NFT is like getting a tattoo. You can hide it on OpenSea, but it's not going anywhere.
Yep, true. Yeah. That is so true.
That's hilarious. And then, so this guy, so switching back to POC, this guy, Federico Klapis, who's an Italian artist, is claiming to be POC. And people say there's like some similarities in their style. POC raised over $200 million with his drops like Merge and what was that other one? Just like a bunch of squares
or something, right? Like,
yeah, the Mass, I think that was.
Pranksy put a ton of money into
Lost
it.
Poets.
And then Pranksy like tweeted it out and was like, hey, what's the update? Because you've been really quiet and I have a lot of money.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what'll happen with that. Like, it was all like real, like, mysterious. And
right.
He was like, people were making this guy out to be a genius.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with
that. It's Paris Hilton also claimed to be POC on a side note, but I think that was a joke.
But Paris Hilton also collabed with 888, who, you know, ended up rugging. And it's like, I mean, celebrities collabing is not always the most credible. Plus, especially if you're well-connected. Man, I remember when I was really deep into the entrepreneur scene several years ago, and I would go to a bunch of like entrepreneur events and everything. And, you know, it was kind of like, it's kind of reminded me of the NFT space in the early days where like everyone kind of knew each other. If you like went to events, like you kind of knew everyone else and stuff. There was this one guy, I don't even know if I should say, but
call it out.
Okay. This one guy, Jet Set Fly. And, and he was like super cool, right? He flying the jets, whatever, like, you know, living that Instagram life, speaking at all the events, super hype, him and this dude, Daniel G, and they were like, everyone loved him, right? It's like, oh, these dudes are so cool. Like, they're so confident and like, they're making so much money. You know, everyone loved him. And then, oh man, things came crashing down hard for them. Basically, it came out that they did this whole, like, it was kind of like this mastermind thing where there was they were promising all these things and they didn't deliver. And they basically like took people's money and what they promised. It was like one of those like, the Fry Festival situations where the people got there and they had those like nasty sandwiches and there was nothing set up. So anyway, oh man. Yeah. And so people came down hard and oh my gosh, everybody shunned him from the space. I mean, people were like, I'm going to sue you. Like it was getting intense. He had to like disappear. And actually, ironically, somebody reached out and were like, hey, my mentor, Jess Fly, is making an NFT project. Would you like to promote? I was like, bro, that's hammer. I remember his reputation. Reputation stays forever. Like, you know, it's like, it's crazy how you can go from being so loved to so hated. So many people, nobody wanted to work with him after that. Like, you know, I mean, he had to essentially just disappear and switch career paths, really. And so burning bridges, you know, rugging, just taking money in the space, getting really greedy. It's like, it'll come back to bite you in the butt. And we're seeing that with a lot of these NFT influencers that claimed to be and claimed to do all these amazing things and then completely did not deliver, and not even an attempt to deliver on these promises, and just like disappearing. And we're seeing people coming out now being like, hey, remember this person?
Right. Yeah. I'm glad people are calling that out. Yeah, for sure. And like the sad thing about like some of these people, the people we're talking about are anonymous. So they can come back and create a whole nother anonymous account.
Oh, yeah.
Blow it up again. Obviously, they're smart, you know, and know what they're doing. Like, you know, it's hard, like with that happening so much, it's kind of hard to sit and trust an anonymous dev. We've talked about it before, but at this point, even with like the real popular ones, you know, one that I do really respect, like is Punk 6529. He puts out really smart threads, really smart information. Like if he did something, I would probably support it, but like, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen with him. I hope it doesn't. I hope he stays around forever, because he really is a gem to the space. Like legitimately the stuff he writes and the, you know, he's very smart and great threads. Like,
He's awesome.
He's for sure.
Yeah. There's some good, you know, great anonymous people. And then there's people that take advantage of the fact that being anonymous is accepted in this industry. You know, they do bad things with that. So yeah, it is unfortunate, but you know, we got to focus on the good.
Yeah.
You know, what is the phrase? It's like where your attention goes, something flows. I kind of forget, but anyway, you know, sometimes people always draw attention to the bad things, right? It's like, don't look at this. This is bad. This is bad. And then it's like, okay, well now everybody's looking at it because you're pointing it out, you know? So, and I do sometimes feel like people should focus more on the good stuff to bring light to it, because often it's, you know, people like drama, bad stuff, drama, you know.
Yeah. Just... Yeah. They do. Where your attention goes, energy flows. This is a Tony Robbins statement.
Hey, there we go. Okay. Where your attention goes, energy flows. Yes.
Originally spoken by Socrates.
Love that.
I'm joking. It was not Socrates. It was Tony Robbins.
Bro, come on. I'm gullible right now. I'm gullible because you just made it seem like you looked it up on the internet.
Yeah. No, I did look it up, but I made up the Socrates. The next thing on our list, you said he has to stick to the positive and where your attention goes. So we're going to still talk about this. There's some kind of new scams out there. We always like to keep our community updated. Let's skip past that for a couple of minutes and talk about something nice. So Wahid, our friend Wahid from Smiles, put out a letter to the community. And it sounds like he's struggling a tiny bit, you know, like there's been a lot of pressure put on him. Things that he said in there, like, I get asked more about announcements. It's like been asked about announcements, updates more times than I've been asked how I'm doing. He's a young guy. He's come a long way in the last 5-6 years, grinding to the.
He's a really kind soul.
Yeah, he is. Wahid's amazing. So he wrote this letter into Discord. You know, there's been some FUD in the Discord. The price is down, which is the reason there's FUD. Right. And, you know, he says, like, Smiles is me. You know, he wants it, but, like, he needs to be himself. And what I would suggest is that anybody that's listening that likes Smiles, that's into it, that's heard us talk about it, maybe go into the Discord and say a kind word to him or a tweet. I did myself. I messaged him, and I also put some stuff in the Discord. So if anyone has the inkling to put some positive energy out there, our friend Wahid is somebody that could use it. He's awesome. He's all smiles on Twitter. He's been nothing but positive, nothing but just, you know, creativity and positivity for the space. One of my favorite projects. And that's one of the ones that, like, literally, like, I'm not worried about the price at all. Like, I want him to do awesome, because I know if he does well as a person that, like, the project is going to crush it eventually. You might remember that I was, like, in the euphoria of it all. We were talking about it at, like, 0.3 and telling everybody. It ended up going to, like, 2.5. And I said at one point, I think this is a 5 to 10 ETH project. Yeah. Sometime in there. I said that and you were like, whoa.
I was like, okay, Joe, we can make promises.
Not financial advice. Yeah.
Michael, can we not do some
Yeah. I remember you saying like, okay, that's a bit.
Okay, Joe.
That's a bit 888-ish.
Yeah, right.
So, but now it's down to 0.2, might even be a tiny bit lower because there's been some FUD there.
Yeah.
I still believe in it. I'm not worried about that though. If anybody wanted to reach out to Waheed or the Smiles team or whatever it is, and just give a kind word, I think that'll go a long way. He's probably received a lot of that in the last few days. This just came out a couple of days ago.
Yeah. You know, wow, I love that. And that's so nice of you to ask people to like say, you know, kind things to him. I'll have to reach out to him as well. But on our last episode, when we interviewed Billy from Supducks, you know, one of the things, I mean, Supducks had gone to, you know, a multiple ETH floor as well.
Yep.
And, you know, now down to whatever it is, less than one ETH. One of the things that he said that stood out to me, and it's like the people set the price on the secondary market. It's secondary for a reason, you know.
Yeah.
That is the buyers and the sellers, you know, that's not really in their control on, you know, what things trade for on the secondary. All they can do is focus on what they're doing and what they want to build and their mission. And, you know, price, that's not really something that founders should be worried about. Unfortunately, people do put these pressures. And I know we were talking about, it's hard because, you know, what's the difference between somebody, you know, rugging and disappearing and you know, not fulfilling on promises, and then people, you know, founders that are just in way over their heads, getting burnt out and running out of money because, you know, they had raised all the money in the beginning, and then, you know, now it's just reliant on the percentage of royalties they're raking in on the secondary market, and and, you know, how much it costs to sustain and continue the project and keep it alive. And so it is quite the struggle. And man, I remember that was one of my fears really early on with, you know, everyone's like, oh, you're going to make a project, you're going to create a project. And it's like, that was one of my fears was having to keep up up and knowing from having a social media background, you know, I mean, there's pressure like that with content. It's like, okay, once you grow a following, you're expected to continue to maintain the following and continue to grow it and continue to put out more content and more. Mm-hmm. And so it only makes sense that that's naturally how things are going with projects and, you know, people expecting more and more and more and more. And especially when these, you know, Yuga setting this precedent for, you know, how much that they've done. And, you know, it makes it a little bit harder for the smaller projects, independent projects to grow when a lot of people are hoping that their project is going to be the next Bored Ape and, you know, they're wanting to, but you know what? I think what people don't realize is that they have the power to control way more than they think. The Bored Apes aren't doing well because the founders are doing these things and it's because of the community. The community is the only reason the founders are able to do all of these things. The community, you know, making it their profile pic, doing all these, you know, things with their ape, like brand deals, whatever. It's like, go out and do stuff with your NFTs. If you want them to provide value to you, you need to be providing value to the project as well. You know, whatever project you're invested in that you want to do well, you are slightly responsible for it doing well. I mean, you're the one that's invested into it. So I think people need to take on a little more responsibility with the projects that they're into and realizing that they have more power, you know, step into your power. You have more power than you think.
1,000%. No, those are really good points. I had something to say there, but I forget exactly what I was going to say to your point, but you make really strong points there. Like a project is forever. You start a project. We've said it before, but you got to know that, you know, you're in it for the long haul, keeping up with it. You're right. I mean, you need a project manager. You need like a social media person, you need Discord people, and you're right again, it costs a lot of money. You make your money, people, you know, you have to pay your devs, everybody wants to make a little bit for themselves, and then it's easy for those secondary royalties to dry up, especially if you're taking 2.5% and you're only getting one sale a day or two sales a day, you know. It's a long haul for sure. And it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of, we talk about bet on the jockey, but you know, a lot of people don't go forever and maybe they move on to other things. And like, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Cause those projects don't go away and people don't forget. Like you will see all the time, if somebody's doing something new, they get called out for what they did before. Like, you know, what are you doing for that?
What about this that you're, heard of?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But you know, humans, I mean, it's hard for, I mean, even with marriages, you know, everyone's right. Oh, yes. Till death do us part. Well, you know, 50%.
Well, if that's 50%, right? Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and then, second marriage is even higher divorce rate, like 64%. Really?
Oh, yeah, that's easy at that point.
You've divorced once, you're going to divorce again.
It's like old hat. I got my lawyer, you know.
Oh, shit.
Like,
I already know how.
I mean, I got the paperwork already ready to go.
Yeah. So it's hard to do something for for a long period of time. I mean, it takes a lot of, I mean, even doing this podcast for a year, I guess we're talking about doing things for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, there were times where, oh man, there was plenty of times where I wanted to be like, guys, maybe we just shouldn't record today, you know, but I'm like, I gotta, you know, let me just get my A game on. I gotta record.
That's
like,
awesome.
Putting in the reps.
Right. That's real. We've all been very consistent with that. That has been something that's been really awesome with this one.
And sometimes we slack a bit. There's been, I think, a time where we went like 11 days without putting out.
Yeah, that
like,
was around NYC, I think. NFT NYC.
It was getting a little crazy for us.
Yeah, but, for sure.
And also I think keeping our expectations low, I think that helps too. I mean, you know, it's like people only really expect, at first they're only really expecting the Sunday recaps. And then we're like, surprise, we're doing these interviews too. And now we're like, surprise, we're doing educational episodes. And but we're not trying to promise a bunch of things like we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. Because, you know, I mean, I'm definitely one of those people where I don't like to say what I'm doing until I'm doing it. I just like to do it and let that speak for itself.
Usually
the best way to go about things. And I guess it's a good lesson for projects and founders too. You know, try and keep the expectations low. And then when you do things, it'll be a pleasant surprise.
There you go. Yeah. Instead of trying to promise the world and getting bogged down. That's great advice for sure. Yeah. Love it. For sure. That's my tagline, right? For sure. One of our favorites, Cool Cats. Did you see the only information out there about it is a tweet? They have a new collection coming in Q4.
What? Really?
Called the J.O. Collection.
Oh, Joe. Sure. I didn't know that.
Yeah. They only tweeted once. And I'll read the tweet. I went into the Discord and I asked if there's any more information about it to talk about tonight. And they said no, just the tweet for now. So it's basically the J.O. collection, story-driven, instant reveal, varying rarities from cool to exotic, designed in collaboration with the community, more to come, coming Q4 2022.
Wow.
So we have a few months. There's new characters. There's one that they're like previewing. It's like red. So that's exciting. So I don't know what it's going to be like, if they're going to give, you know, if they're going to give an opportunity for a free one for the Cool Cats and then do extras, or maybe they'll just, you know, give the Cool Cats a cheaper mint and do 10,000 of them. I'd kind of like to see it stuck to 10,000 if possible. And I would buy it I'd rather it be 10 than 20, you know, theoretically, but they can do what they want, obviously. But yeah, no, that's all we know. The J.O. collection.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, we'll have to keep tabs on that.
Yeah, we will. It's a ways off. Maybe we'll even get Tom on to do like a spot to talk about it or whatever.
Tom was our very first guest.
Yes, he was. Yep. Extreme
dad
Tom.
And founder of Cool Cats.
Yeah, he really broke down like Cooltopia and the milk and all that stuff for us. I had no idea. It was all like, that was before they came out. And he was talking about how, you know, you breathe them and you get all like you chase down the elements and you can kind of create what your thing ends up being. Cool Cats. Yeah, that's exciting. I'm excited to see the new characters and the colors. It looks cool. Clown hopefully will have fun. And I don't know what designed in collaboration with the community. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah.
But it seems, you know, people keep saying Nicole Cassidy just go back to their IP and you know, work on characters and like stuff like that instead of.
Right. Like, I mean, in the beginning, that's what everyone was in it for, the art and supporting Klon, who was just, a loyal artist to his work. And, you know, whoever went to Cooltopia in New York, you saw the evolution of the cat, you know, the cool cat that he had been drawing. I mean, originally, I think it was called like the Cartoonist. And really, this was like years in the making. And that was a really cool thing to see. I feel like that was kind of the first time we had seen this like storytelling progression of an artist. And like, you know, it was one of those like, oh, it was just so wholesome, like, you know, Klon's story. I mean, everyone was just rooting for him.
Yeah, Klon seems really cool. I remember at the first NYC, Andy and I were in this little room he was in at the Cool Cats party. It was like a circle of artists on the floor, and they were like drawing little pictures, passing them around, giving them out to people. It was just cool stuff. So yeah, Cool Cats. Hopefully the Cool Cats will have a gigantic resurrection. Floor's sitting around 3 right now. Like a lot of project maxed out, higher.
It's been steady.
Yeah, it's been steady for the. And the pets are super cheap if anyone really wants to get into the ecosystem.
What's
pets
the pet are like
0.2-ish. Mm. Let me see. Cool pets.
That's how much they were to mint, weren't they?
What was it? Didn't we get, weren't they free?
Oh, free to holders. But then I think
the mint was a half an ETH. I think the mint was half an ETH.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it was expensive. They're 0.18.
Got it.
Yep. And we're recording this on August 1st in the evening. August 2nd is our anniversary, and that's when this episode will drop. Yeah. Very excited about it. I did something else cool for the last year. So if, I don't know if anybody remembers, but before there were data sites like flips.finance and all these floor sites, I used to put out evaluate.market, absolutely, which I do need to use more. I used to put out like these like tweets that would have like the floor prices of like 2025 projects.
Oh my God. I think that's why I originally started following you.
Probably. Yeah. When I started doing that in like May of 2021, I literally had like 400 or 500 followers, and I bought my ape and I started doing that. And like, I remember that, you know, remember Mario Carters, who's completely disappeared.
He was No, what happened to him? Oh my God.
Wait, I don't know. His account's gone. I don't know.
That is so funny because I love here. Remember this person? It's like you literally will forget about people that disappear until somebody brings them up. And then I'm like, oh my God. Yeah,
that's one of them. Yeah. No, Mario Carters. Yep. No way. Right? Look it up. I think his account's totally gone.
Oh my God. I can't even see him.
Yeah.
What? Okay.
I know.
What? Okay.
Sorry, I used to follow him too. He was a great. It's probably like he's somebody else. You know what I mean? He's probably like, who knows?
Wow. I mean, to be fair, if I left Twitter, I wouldn't come back out.
Yeah. It's probably K-Money or the thread guy or something.
Oh my God. Okay. What were you saying about him though?
So what was I saying? Oh, he retweeted it. Like when I said that, like kicked off like this whole, like it went viral. Me just posting it because nobody was doing it. And then Zeneca started doing it, but Zeneca made these like really nice spreadsheets, but it was like it was like me and I might've even been doing it first. Like, I mean, I'm sure other people did, but like I was literally, cause I just knew like every day I was going through and charting the floor prices. Cause there was no data to be had at that point. Like people were just starting to know they needed them. There was Crypto Slam, which gave you like sales, but like there wasn't the data. And especially not floor prices. And I knew how important that floor price number was to look at day to day to see how things were doing. And so I started doing that. So what I did today was I pulled up my post from 1 year ago.
Oh my God.
Exactly 1 year ago. So I'm gonna read off the project. I'm gonna say what the floor was then and what the floor is now.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. So, cool. And these are the projects that were relevant a year ago. So some of them people won't even have heard of. Like,
God.
here's my list. So Bored Apes was 14.75 a year ago, and it's 85 now. V Friends was 6.899, and right now it's 7, which is pretty wild.
Whoa.
It got up as high as like 20 at one point.
Yeah.
The MetaKey 1 was 4.3, and now it's 2.6942, believe it or not. And that got up nice and high as well. Ghosts, do you remember that project, Ghosts?
GHXSTS. Those are the one of ones, right? Like the, I mean, they're
yeah. One of, and oh, they were from, was it from Dario Di Siena or who was?
No.
Pretty
sure the person's who was anonymous.
Okay.
I thought they were anonymous. Sorry.
Yeah, they probably are. I shouldn't. I mean, the next one is Dario actually on the list. That's why. But so Ghost was 3.95. The floor is 11 now.
Yeah.
Which is mm-hmm. good. Mines was Dario Di Siena. The floor is 3.6 a year ago. The floor is 0.09 now.
What?
Yeah, there's a couple. Like, there's
I
a couple
remember those being really popular yeah. too. Yeah, Dario. Yep.
The Damien Hirst, the currency, was 3.09. That's up to 5.62. That's been really volatile because yes. they just had their final burning of those.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember, so you could burn it and they will actually you burn it and you get the physical, or you keep the NFT and they burn the physical. And the final numbers of that were 5,149 physicals and 4,851 NFTs. And Damien himself owned 1,000 and kept them all as NFTs.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. He was like, if I believe in it, I believe in it. And he's like, it's going to hurt to burn 1,000 of these, but so it's about half and half, but 1,000 of them are his, which are probably never going to move if I had to guess. So that's Damien Hirst, the currency. If people don't remember, it was released on Henny, H-E-N-I, on that website. And it's like all these like colorful dots. But there was 10,000 of them, and like all the dots were in, like it was all like they checked it by a computer and did rarity of colors and spacings and like all kinds of really interesting things. So it was a unique project that raised a lot of money. They sold them for 2,000 each, 10,000 of them, $20 million, bam, wow. just like that. Yep. That one's been all over the place. That one was as high as like 15. And down to 2.9. It went from 2.9 to 7 in like 3 weeks when they started burning them back in July. Now it's chilling. Yeah, it's chilling at 5.62. The MeBits was 2.69 a year ago. It's up to 4.75. Gutter Cat Gang, it was 2.64, which is a very successful project early on. Like, and then they're 6.12. now, which is really good for them. The Bored Ape Kennel Club was 2.55. It's up to 7.9. I famously sold my dog at 1.25 unrevealed, and it had laser eyes after I looked. Huge regret. Punk's Comic number one was 1.7 at that point. It's at 1.5 right now. The Crypto Baby Punks, you remember that one?
Crypto Baby Punks. I was into the punk babies, but I do remember the Crypto Baby Punks.
That was 1.5 ETH. I had a couple. I bought and sold. Actually did really well on those.
Oh, wow.
That was one of the projects VGF was a community like in the Discord for.
Oh, really?
It was one of those projects.
I remember that was PFP for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it was exactly the little one with the hood.
Yeah.
And that is down to 0.07. So they probably just totally abandoned it. And it was funny, like back in the day, like any little thing would pump a project. He was like, we're putting up a billboard in LA. And like, that was like enough for people to go like wild.
Yeah.
I remember the floor went all the way up. Like there was like 0.1. It went all the way well over in ETH. Obviously it was 1.5.
I remember Dingling. That was his profile picture for a while. Like,
was it a crypto baby? Yeah. Punk?
He probably still does have quite a bit. He never sells anything. So.
Right. Yeah. Cool Cats was 1.445. It's up to 3 ETH. House of Kiba, which we've talked about a ton, was 1.22. That one is high as like 5 ETH at one point for the Genesis membership. It's at 0.69 at this point. The Vogu, you remember the Vogu?
Yep.
That was an ETH floor. That was a 1 ETH floor. Down to 0.06.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a hurt piece. The Doge Pound was not 0.935.
I hated those. I thought they were so ugly.
Yeah.
They had a quarter ETH right now?
Yeah.
Wow, they're still up. I remember somebody I remember I saw a tattoo, somebody, a giant tattoo on their leg of a Doge pound. And I was like,
oh, you fucked up.
My gosh. Yeah.
Oh my God. The Doge pound. Stoner Cats was 0.59 down to 0.16. It's interesting there.
Wait, 0.59 down to 0.56?
0.16.
Oh, 0.16. Oh, yeah.
And that minted at like 0.35. Minted at 0.35.
I remember at the time it was like insane. Everyone's like 0.35.
It was very controversial.
Which, yeah, by the way, was like $1,000 at the time, like 0.35. So like people were, I mean,
right, exactly.
That was really high. Yeah. Like nobody was minting at that price. And the guys, it's Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. It's
sold
fine.
Out.
It sold out. Yeah, yep. It did.
And it did good for a little bit.
Oh yeah.
But yeah,
it was highly controversial though. Like
it was,
like,
it was a big
controversy. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Space. Like, exactly. It was really something else.
It was one of those gas wars. People lost a lot on gas and everything.
Yeah.
I think Ashton Kutcher, Mac talked about this when we had him on, paid back like $1 million or something in gas.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, that was horrible. Yeah. Guess four.
World of Women was 0.43. It's at 3.3 right now. That one maxed out around 10, I believe, sometime after that. The Crazy Lizard Army. Into that one? You got any of those?
Wait a minute. Why is this so familiar? Hold on, I gotta look it up. Crazy Lizard Army. That looks like something like recently came out now.
Yeah, not? There's probably similar things. No, oh, it must have not though. at Crazy Lizard Army. Yeah, well, that was 0.43 ETH at the time. Mm. Right now it's less than 0.01 is the floor.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I remember some influencers pumping that one up. I'm not gonna name any names.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I won't name any names. I remember a couple. Animatus. Remember
come on,
that one?
I had to name some names. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Nah, I'm not going to name this guy.
Oh, Animatus or whatever.
I remember there was a famous photographer that he said, like, this one is like one of the ones. And like, I don't know. This same guy has pumped a few. There John was this other Knopf? Project. No, not John. Definitely not John. I'm not. Okay. He may or may not be immune from pumping a couple different projects, but it's not John Knopf who I'm thinking of. But this other guy said something that always stuck with me on Clubhouse. He said it. He said, buying Crypto Pill by Misha Klein. You remember that project at all? Crypto Pills, oh, Misha Klein. It's down. And it's another one that's down. But he said, this is like buying a Damien Hirst piece. It was when he literally said that. I remember I was like, wrong place to put your reputation, bro.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I'm not going to name the photographer, but some people might know.
Dang it, I want to know. Okay, no, it's fine.
Nah, I'll tell you afterward. I don't want to just throw it out there. He's a nice enough person. Animatus for 0.49, that's at 0.08. The Royal Society of Players, which I actually like, and I like the founder, but they were 0.299. They're down to 0.03. I know they're still doing some stuff, and they've got that other project called the House of First. It's like the same people.
Oh, really? I didn't know it was the same people.
Yep, that's the same people. Or at least I'm pretty sure. They're definitely affiliated. Wicked Craniums was 0.295. That's down to 0.1. They had a pump few months ago when I think they got a whitelist for Steve Aoki or something. Some people bought him.
Oh.
Bulls on the Block was 0.185 and now it's 0.05. So that was my last
honestly,
one. That was
higher than I thought.
Yeah, for that I know. Bull, I mean, those are dead.
I remember the artist left on the Bulls on the Block and there was a whole controversy. He was like, oh, they're not treating me well and all these things. And it was highly. I kind of do remember that.
I don't remember the details, but I kind of do remember that. I had fun going back a year though and looking.
Yeah, at that's awesome. Really interesting. I love that you brought that. I didn't even know you were going to bring that into this episode. Yeah, I love that you did that.
Yeah,
that's great. Cool. What a classic.
Yeah. I thought that was fun. So we'll go back to what I said earlier. I did want to talk about a couple scams I saw recently because I really do want to keep our community safe. And people should just know Twitter is where it's happening right now. I mean, it's happening anywhere, but Twitter is nasty. You'll see like a copycat account that looks like the real account. It'll be verified. It'll have 100,000 followers, but it'll still be a scam. A lot of times it tips off where you'll get like tagged in something by somebody weird. Like just really think like you can be quick. I'll give an example of one that and also another thing to do, if you know you follow the project, click on it and see, because you won't be following the fake one. That's one tell, but like just anything with a link, like just really keep your head on the swivel. So there's this guy, Rocksol, R-O-C-S-O-L. He's an artist in Miami, and he does a lot of Bored Ape stuff. And so he, like, somebody created a fake account as him and tweeted, hey, this party's for mutant holders only. You get a night at the hotel. It's like this beautiful Miami resort. Click on this link. And like, I looked at it, I was like, oh, snap. And it's like, you know, you get a night at the hotel. And I was like, this is awesome. What a perk. Like, I could see that happening. And then I looked at it and I was like, So I would have to connect my mutant wallet to do this. Let me look deeper. And I realized it wasn't him. I wasn't following him. I went to his, he tweeted out, hey, I'm being impersonated. And he's not like a major anything. Like he's a great artist, but he's not like, he's not somebody with like 50,000 followers or anything like that. But it was really elaborate. And they had like fake mutant accounts tweeting and retweeting it and all kinds. It was
there's a new wave. I think you had put this on the show notes too. This was super. I was like, damn, this was honestly an impressive one that I'd seen. Usually the Twitter ones are red flags. Like I'm like, red flag. Like I can usually spot them.
Yeah.
This one was good. Like, so someone just DM'd me and they're like, help spread the word. And they linked this tweet and I click on it and I'm like, you know, I'm just kind of looking at it and it's like, so you know how the thing is revoke.cash. That's where you can revoke permissions to keep things safe. Well, they were like, guys, make sure there's this post. Right. And it was like some incredible looking, you know, PFP. And it was like, there's some scams going around, make sure that you reverse your permissions. And I almost don't want to say this. I don't want people to, but anyway, the fake one, the wrong one, they put reverse.cash, which is not the right one at all.
Right.
And they were like, make sure you revoke your permissions, right? Making it seem like they're helping people. And then I looked down at the comments and they leave the comments on because that was the thing that everyone was catching on to. Oh, if the comments are off, then it's a red flag. Well, they left the comments on, but guess what? They botted it a ton. And there literally was, I was scrolling through, there was dozens, maybe even like 100 comments of what looked like credible people commenting saying, oh, thank you so much for telling me this. I just reversed the permissions. And even they had bots, which seemed like real PFP people, NFT people, quote tweeting it and saying that same thing. And I'm like, oh my God, this is really good, really elaborate. And I didn't click the link, but I was like, and then I saw 0x quit, who's like, you know, big in security, and he had commented as well. And he's like, do not click this link. This is a scam. And it was like, wow, that was a really elaborate one.
It's getting really elaborate on Twitter. Yeah. The people losing their accounts, the fake accounts that look like real people. Just keep remembering, you know, we hate to have to do it, but it's really important.
That's why we decided to introduce Web3 security episodes every month now. You know, starting last month, we did our first one with Simone Art. Go back and listen to that one if you haven't. It's honestly like gold. And every month we just want to bring on a Web3 security expert. I mean, obviously it's hard to really be an expert, but it's like the people that know a lot that can keep everyone informed and help everyone stay informed on the best practices. Because you got to constantly be up to date on, it is good to know, you know, what the latest scams are and things like that, because it helps you stay informed and, I mean, you know, for your own sake of not losing your assets, man, it's just so hard for people just getting into this and not knowing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, it's getting so much. Right. So it just
even for people like us that are seasoned scam, like seasoned, tough to like, you gotta like, yeah. You just keep thinking, am I connecting my wallet? Like, you know what I mean? Like when you're connecting your wallet, like really think twice about what you're doing. I do have a burner account now that I sent a little bit of ETH to that. Like if I'm minting anything weird, like I actually did one just for fun the other day. I minted one last night. That was like some junky thing. It didn't work out well, but like just try the burner. It's nice to have that. It's a good peace of mind. It's free. It's easy. Neo in our Discord actually put together a really great tutorial how to open your second, like your other wallets on your MetaMask. Like he's been really into that also. He's done a great job of putting together. If anyone doesn't know, you know, we do have an NFT Catcher Discord. It's fun.
Yeah, we'll have to link it in this episode. Yeah. For sure.
It's nice to have people talk about the podcast in there. And there's some good chatter going on. We don't charge anything. There's no token gain or anything. It's just a nice podcast, a little community of helpful people. And if anybody wants to join our Discord, feel free to come in. But security. Think about it like that. Like a couple times, like you look at those Twitter things and they look legit and they look exciting. Mm-hmm. So you have to slow down.
So yeah, that's really what it is. Slowing down and thinking and taking time
and recheck. If you're not 1000% sure, go back and check to make sure the accounts are real. Look at the retweets, make sure they look legit. Like make sure the comments are clean. Like really just really look at stuff like that. If you're new, it's very easy.
It sucks though, because people then get discouraged to connect their wallet to things like even sites where problem. If you connect like Evaluate Market, it's like you can connect your MetaMask wallet and you can see the value of all your NFTs. Well, people even get sketched out about that, and it's like, oh, is there a way to manually, track? And I don't want to have to connect. And it's very and I am curious to see how things evolve with just. I mean, I don't think it's sustainable, for everybody to be connecting their wallets with all their valuable assets.
No. There needs to be some kind of warning, something like just so you know.
Yeah, or even an easier way to read. Honestly, we just need an easier way to read those MetaMask signing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it needs to say you're allowing XABC, somebody.
Like it's like, what? This is literally a foreign language. It's not even English. It's like,
I know.
It's not any language. It's just 0x3175AB sign. Like, I'm like, okay, I don't even know what this says. Like,
exactly.
Can we get some,
come on, MetaMask.
What does this say?
I know.
What is happening here?
That's what am I telling you? That is the truth.
It's really
that is the truth. So switching gears a little bit, what do you think of AI art? Have you gotten into it at all? Artificial intelligence, where you like type the things in, ask for it. It's not really like the generative, like the art block stuff, because I think that's coded in. Like artificial intelligence is like the computer learns and then it like spits stuff out. Have you have any thoughts on it? Have you dug in at all?
DALL-E, right? Is like the hot thing.
And there's
right
like
now.
A number two one, yeah.
But you need permission, right? I want
you do.
Permission you do. So bad. I'm like, oh, it's so fun. I saw people like posting, because you could just type in like a purple penguin with gold shoes in the middle of the rainforest. And like all of a sudden,
they have a bunch of different pictures. Like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I mean, I think that's really, really cool. I would love to be able to play around with it myself. But what are your thoughts on it?
I've gotten really interested in it recently. I heard a podcast where somebody was talking about it and really intrigued me. And then on my TikTok recently, this one AI, like it's come up a bunch. So I've liked it a few times. So it comes up every time now. And it'll be like we asked AI what the first humans looked like. And we asked AI what humans will look like in 1,000 years. And it gives like all these like creepy things. Like we asked AI what God looks like and what hell looks like. And and it keeps coming up, and it's like so interesting. I know Claire Silver, who's somebody I've wanted to have on the podcast for a while. She does a lot of it, and she has a project coming out. That's AI. I'm going to look into if I'm not too late. I'd like to try and, because I'm really interested in it. The future of it is going to get crazy. Like, yeah, you're going to be able to, it's going to be videos, and you're going to be able to be like, give me a video of, you know, Vladimir Putin announcing that he dropped a nuclear bomb. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and it's going to be so like, and it'll look real, and you'll have no, it'll write whole movies. Like, AI is going to write stories. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you really extrapolate where it's going, like, it's going to be, you're going to be able to type anything in and like create your own movie. Hey, I'd like to watch a movie that's an hour long about six guys robbing a bank in Alaska. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to type that in. I'm not even joking. Like, I believe that. I think this, I mean, it might take 10, 20 years, but you're going to be able to type that in. Like, what do you want to watch today? I want to watch Tom Hanks.
And it'll just come up with a movie?
Selling lemon. Yeah. It'll write the story. Sure. It'll give you the video, and it won't even have ever existed. It'll be your own personal movie. And you're going to be like, and you'll be like, in the style of Quentin Tarantino. Like, I wanted to star this person, this person, this person. And it'll look like a real movie.
Yeah.
And it'll probably give you a few different options. Would you like one that ends like this? Or would you like one, blah, 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 blah? Or a random one, like, it's, I can't even, like, that is coming. Adventure. Yeah, the deep fake stuff that we're going to start to get is going to be, like, that's going to be big controversies. People are going to think political speeches are deep fakes, and, like you'll be able to put out the perfect political speech. Yeah, there's going to be, we're a ways away. We're a decade or two away. But with this AI, there's going to be a time where we're not really, people don't believe now what's real or not. Like, you can see something and they're like, nah, that didn't happen. You know, like, what's really coming. And I'm sure the government has that, like, way further capabilities than we know about, but it's really intriguing to me because, like, the podcast, I heard the people talking about it, they were like, that's really where it's going. You're going to be able to immerse yourself in any world you want just by typing it up and giving the ideas. And this AI is just going to, I really do think you're going to have your own TV shows, star in whoever you want, whatever plot lines you want. You'll be able to tell them what to do. Like, it's going to be
wild. What about when you're able to, you know, in the movies where, like, it's like some, I don't know what it's called, but it's like you press a button that a hologram or whatever. And right, it's like right, a person. Right. It looks like a real person. What about that? Well, then we'll be questioning, is this a real human I'm talking to?
Or is this
like a hologram?
Yeah. Like, so holograms, basically, like, would you be at the mall and maybe, like, you know, your mom wants to meet up with you. So her hologram shows up at your mall in your city and you guys walk around together. Like, you might have to have like your Google glasses on or something for that. And then you'll be on Meta and Facebook's like,
or you're in the virtual world, but then it feels so real. Like, you're actually, cause you know, it'll look like yourself and all that. And then you'll get lost in it. And you'll think that it's like when you're, oh my God, I have such vivid dreams. Uh-huh. And sometimes I have horrible vivid nightmares and I'm just like, I wake up and I'm like, holy shit, like, that felt so,
thank God funny. That wasn't real. Yeah, you ever wake up and you think that after, like, thank God, like, that didn't actually just happen.
Seriously, I'm just like, this is real life. Like, why did that dream feel like it was, it's so weird because my dreams feel like real life until I wake up and I'm like, what? Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like that for everybody, but it's so weird. I don't know.
We're going to some crazy places as humans. I just want to be around, you know, long enough to, like, it's so interesting to know where we're going to be going. And like, but I do think everyone will have some kind of headpiece. It'll start as like glasses that'll give you a whole nother, you know, AR view of the world, augmented reality. And then eventually I do think they're going to put it in our eyes.
You know what? I might be on my Life in a Prairie phase at that point.
Yeah, at that point, I know.
I might be off the grid. You know, you never.
We're going to be kids today. These cyborgs. But there's people that argue that we're already cyborgs. Like we have our phone and that connects us, and we have all the information in the whole world at the tip of a finger. Yeah. Like we already kind of are. It's just, you know, that's like the transition into Elon Musk's Neuralink. You know, it's all coming. We're not going to be, you can't stop progress.
I know.
Yeah. Right. The AI stuff is like just recently it's gotten really interesting to me where they just like, and it's only going to get smart. It's like, it's literally just scratching the surface right now.
Yeah.
It's like, we're in like the fax machine era of AI, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
And they always make those crazy movies that make it all scary. I wish they would make better movies that make
they
that
should, painted they should a better make a light. Super positive AI movie.
Yeah, like, I'm like, why do they always make it where they kill us in the end and stuff?
Right, exactly.
Come on.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So AI's coming. We do need to at some point try and get Claire on. I've heard great things about her.
Oh my God,
especially the fact that she's big into AI. That would be super interesting to me.
Let me see. Oh, she has her DMs turned off. That's why I haven't reached out to her.
I could ask VGF. I'm pretty sure he knows her.
Oh.
So yeah. I will ask him if it's possible if we can get a connection.
Okay, sweet. Otherwise, would be super interesting. Yeah, maybe we'll tweet at her or something.
Yeah. Hey, we need you to come on. She's got a project. A lot of times when people are dropping something, they're more
Come on. Your project. You ever notice? I really look up to her in the space a lot.
Same. Yeah. I've heard amazing things. You ever see the influencers and it's not her at all. Like I'm just talking about when they're dropping a project, they tweet like 1,000 times a day when they have something coming out. You know, they're always like, just talking and talking. And then
whose show can I be on?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. So a couple more just pieces of news that I found interesting before we close it down, and we could have a couple final words or whatever if we want, but a couple other things that I found interesting. Okay. I thought people might know about Tomorrowland, the EDM festival happened in Belgium, and there were like two NFT, I don't know, not NFT based, but well, one of them was this Ape Rave Club, or is BAYC9184 on Twitter. And he performed as his ape on the Tomorrowland main stage. Nice. So like a ton of people. And it was like his ape was up there.
Ape mask. Yeah.
Yep. And Matt Medved from NFT Now. I didn't know he was a DJ. Performed? Is he a DJ? Yeah. And like in front of a ton of people. Tomorrowland
is the biggest rave in the world. You know that, right?
Yeah. No, I did not know that.
I used to like rave every month. Yeah. I was really into raves. Uh-huh. I mean, that's like the dream. Every raver wants to go to Tomorrowland. Yeah, it's like the ultimate, ultimate rave.
Yeah. So Matt performed there, and there's like a video of him on Twitter. You should look it up. Yeah. He's like dancing.
That's awesome.
What the heck? Yeah. I know. Good for you, bro. That was super cool. And then the band Muse. Are you a fan of the band Muse? They're probably maybe a little before your time.
I don't know if I know them.
Yeah. They're popular. They were like a UK band. Oh, okay. Super popular. I mean, I knew them well because of Tickets. So like, you know, but they've had some popular songs. Good band. Like, I think they're
Come on, sing for us.
I couldn't even sing one. I don't even, honestly, I'd have, let me see. What are Muse's? I have been known to sing once or twice, and it's not a pretty
The Muse thing. Fans listening are like, Muse, no!
Famous songs. Geez, I don't even know. All right, we're gonna pass on that for now. Maybe next episode. So they're putting out an NFT album.
Yeah.
And what I found interesting about it, it's being released later this month. It is the first album ever that's going to be eligible to chart on the UK charts.
Hmm.
Yep.
What does that mean? They're eligible to chart on the UK.
So like, however many they sell, if they sell 1 million, and that's the most that week, it could go to number one solely as an NFT. It's the first album that's been eligible. And it's the first new type of music eligible in 7 years. So it's probably digital, whatever it was 7 years ago.
Wow.
But yep. So it seems pretty groundbreaking. Of course, obviously it's a, you know, mega company backed. I'm sure there's Sony or whatever. But it's just interesting that is a step that's being taken. It's like a new frontier for NFTs. And it's being sold on the NFT platform called Serenade. I haven't heard of it, but if anybody wanted to look it up, you You can look it up. Serenade is supposed to be like one of those ones that's like environmentally friendly. So I haven't looked it up. I don't know what they're charging, what they're doing, but it is dropping later this month. I found it super interesting because it is a first, and I think it will not be a last. There's going to be a time where the number one album is all NFT. You know, we'll see that. It'll probably be eventually all that top 10 albums will be NFT sales.
Yeah.
I can only imagine, like, why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, 100%.
There's a lot of trailblazers in the NFT space. You know, much respect to people like Spotty and a friend of mine, Emily Lazar, is always doing cool stuff with music and NFTs. There's that guy Dill on Twitter is always hosting rooms and shining light on people. Koopa Troopa, especially, you know, Koopa Troopa. That's another one I'd be interested to have on. Nah, yeah,
Maybe I do.
He's always talking. Yeah, it's okay. He's always talking about music NFTs and shining.
He's the only reason I know music NFTs exist, even though I barely even know what music NFTs are.
Yeah.
But oh my God, we got to get, you know, it'd be cool. Well, first of all, it's just Los. I mean, who wrote our, you know, theme song. We got to shout him out for NFT music. But also,
Right.
It'd be cool to get like spotty Wi-Fi on and like do a little rap for us for the show or something. I don't know.
Spotty be a great guest. Spotty is really good at marketing. He's done a great job at what he's done. I mean, Koopa Troop is great. Like, he shines a light. 42 minutes ago, he posted a Twitter thread, who to follow in music NFTs, founders, artists, like a whole list of artists, collectors. There's like 50 people here that he shouted out. He's put out these like, there's like images of all the different NFT. Like, he's really good. He's a good one. Koopa Troopa. If you're into music NFTs at all, it's going to be a thing. It's going to be a big part of it. Music.
We got to get gaming. Him on the show.
Yep.
Talk the about
ones I really see. Yeah. I'd love to have him on too. That would be brilliant.
And we gotta get someone from Solana. You guys need to DM us some who is like the knowledgeable, and they have to kind of be popular too. Like, we can't just get someone that like
is it Nate Rivers? There's also, you know who else? Easy. What's his name? He does the Nifty Alpha show with those guys, but then he also has his own Solana show. Easy Eats Bodega on Twitter. I'm going to send you him. Yeah, he's probably the soul guy. I'm gonna message over now. We're doing a little behind the scenes chat here, which is cool. I think people like to hear kind of how we talk about. This is how we talk about who to find, like as guests. Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and you know what? I think we should get someone to represent from each blockchain. Like, we need, you know, from each of the, I don't know. We got to do a little bit of branch out here. Yeah. You know,
remember we used to get called out for that. We used to get called out for only doing ETH.
I know. So we got to like,
At
least we'll be like, if someone's like, you never talk about this, we'll be like, well, actually we have this interview we did with this person about this, this blockchain. And then, you know, but also it'll be nice. Because I always feel like, I mean, for me personally, one of the ways I learn about new things, it is through the podcast as well, you know, through interviewing people on this podcast. And so our listeners can learn with us. You know, learn about different blockchains besides ETH and Flow. So
we need some wax experts on here. Let's do like a full month dedicated to wax and see how
that's the reason why we have if you ever wonder why we're 4.5 average rating on Apple, it's because one time we got bombarded by a bunch of people that were into wax, and one time I said wax is trash, and then they all gave us
you said it again now it's coming
back. and then if you look at our reviews, there's like, oh, there's some mean ones on there, but anyway, oh my God. And I have to say, shout out to, I didn't even know people were rating us on Spotify. I just literally found out today. We have 111 and our rating is 4.9. Like, pretty much everyone gave us 5-star, which is awesome. And 111 ratings, and you don't, I guess there's no like reviews, so you can't like write a review, you can just like rate. So if you're listening to this on Spotify, you should totally rate us, you know, for our 1 year, you know, come on, give us a couple ratings. But anyway, yeah, thank you to everyone who has rated us already, and pretty cool, appreciate you for that.
Look at this. While we've been recording, our friend, yeah, Sir Crane, he's in the Discord. He retweeted from a year ago. Andy tweeted this today. We recorded our first podcast episode 1 year ago. Okay. I thought that was like we recorded our first podcast. Like,
yeah.
Cool. Sir Crane's also, though, he's in the Discord. I'm actually giving him a follow right now.
Let's go.
Yes. There we go. Yep. What's up, Sir Crane? Say what's up in the Discord if you hear this.
Yeah, Andy's live on our Twitter replying to people. I can see Mumbot, who we had on the show. She said, happy Podversary. And, nice. And then Andy's like,
is Podversary.eth available?
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Oh, my God. Remember when I recently got NFTCatcher.eth and we didn't even have that secure?
I know. That would have been nasty.
NFTCatcherPod.
Somebody tried to sell me at Michael Keen on Twitter.
Oh, really? Wait, yeah. What is the thing? Oh, yeah, NF ticket. Yeah.
Right.
You gotta have some backup. I have, I think I have Jen Pseudo, like just in case, like Jennifer underscores.
Right. Oh, that's a good idea. Just in case you need something. To, like, hey, my account's been compromised. yeah, for sure. And ENS Domains is actually, they had a record month in July. They sold like almost 400,000 domain names in July.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Not even on secondary, like new registrations.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. And people want to use it as their wallet address, you know, it's easy.
Yeah. And they're selling. So there's like a market for them and like, ENS Domains is crushing it.
Crushing it.
They are.
All right. Well, I mean, what else do we have to talk about for our 1 year here?
I don't know.
No, we can never let this end.
Okay. Do you have any favorite moments? You have any favorite moments?
Oh gosh. You know what? That's so hard because there's so many great moments.
So many great ones.
That was really something special. Putting together our 50th episode, where we kind of had a bunch of people that had come on in the past.
Yeah.
And we did a special Twitter Spaces episode for that, where at first, you know, we kind of let all of our previous guests like say a little something. I think it was like a piece of advice or something like that. And then after that, we did a segment where it was like Q&A for both of us. And then at the end of that episode, like it was like a whole three-parter.
Yeah.
And then we had people, listeners come on and be able to talk about what they're working on. And everyone was so respectful of the time. You know, I remember I was like, I'm going to time you guys, you know, only 2 minutes. And then I didn't even have to time anyone because everyone was super respectful and, you know, only talked for a couple minutes. And, that was just super, super fun to put together and to hear everybody. And just, I thought that was a really unique thing. And I would love to do something like that again. Soon we'll have to figure out it's quite the task to kind of organize, but I would love to do another episode where we bring on our listeners to kind of just talk about what they're working on, you know, give a chance to share you know, their voice on the podcast and talk a bit. I think that's always a fun thing.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about doing another Twitter space. I think it would be our live recording.
Oh, wait, what was the other one we did?
Didn't we do one for, we did our 50th and we did a Q&A a little earlier than that. We did like a Twitter Q&A.
Oh, yeah. We did a Q&A. Where we took questions, I remember that. And then Alan Falcon, you had,
He came on at the end. Yeah, I put that in
the thing. Yeah, he came on in the end, co-creator of NBA Top Shot. And that was fun too. Yeah, I love the whole Q&A thing. Totally got to do another one of those. We're due for another one for sure.
We are due for another one. I think some of my favorite moments, like the Volture interview really sticks out to me. I was blown away by his marketing and like just how smart he was and thoughtful. Really enjoyed that. That's a great listen. to hear some really brilliant ideas for NFT marketing.
Yeah.
And then I also think three of the episodes we had people like, I consider myself friends with a lot of the people, but like people that are true friends of mine that also do amazing things in the space. We had on Mumbot, Mitch Putnam, VGF. Like those were really special to me to be able to chop it up with those people that I hang out with and have grown to know and love over the last year and a half. Like that's been really special. I know you've had some of your friends on too.
And that's totally.
Your sister, obviously.
Oh,
chatting
my
up
sister,
with Steph was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, being able to interview my sister, how often do you get to do that? And she's the one that brought me into this space. So, and then some of my first friends, in the NFT space, Newbie, Swicky, being able to bring friends on that are doing big things. And, that's just such a fun part of it. It's like, I feel like we have a nice combination of, bringing people on that we really look up to in this space. Yeah. That we're like, oh my God, I can't believe this person said yes. And then being able to have friends on, that were like, we would love to be able to have a conversation with them live. And it's just a nice combination of the two.
It is. Yeah. Hopefully people really like how we kind of curate the guests. I think it's unique. Yeah. Like I look at other podcasts and I'm like, I never heard of that project. Like even podcasts I really like, they have people on that, you may or may not have heard of, and it's different kind of, but I think it's really cool how we do it. It's things that we're really into genuinely, and we're really interested in. So definitely proud of that. And there's a lot of the conversation. I mean, the people like Carlini and Nate Alex that are true OGs.
OGs and Rude Moose.
Exactly. People that have just been doing it for so long and bring so much perspective.
Those people have
been brilliant.
The OG people are honestly one of my, besides people that I know.
You get really into that for sure.
I love the OG stuff.
That's kind of when you get starstruck is when the OGs show up.
I'm like, I know. And then I'm saying all these nice things, over complimenting people. But
you don't over compliment anybody.
And then also, one of the missions is kind of been a secret mission. We don't really talk about it, but one of my missions, I remember when we first started doing guests, I was like, I want to make sure that it's, equal men and women that we're getting on the show. And I don't want to make a big deal about it. I just want it to be how it is. Because I want people to know that it's equal. I don't want to make it seem like, there's only one lady we interview for every 10 guys. And it's so that's always been my mission as well to, equality here within the podcast interviewing guest space. And then I noticed that we have a lot of female listeners as well, which is really awesome. Cause when we did those Q&As, I was so pleasantly surprised, that a lot of ladies came up and with courage and confidence, to give their input, ask a question, say their thing. And that's just really cool to see for me, just being able to influence and inspire and all that. It's always awesome. So
it's been amazing. I really appreciate you. I really appreciate Andy. It's been a great year. And, I really think that we got something good going and people like it. And, it's going to be fun as the fall comes in and into winter, back to the crypto bull market that's going to be coming.
Oh, shoot.
When is that coming? I don't
predictions,
know.
Predictions. Yeah.
But we'll be here for it. We're going to be here chatting it up. Yep. Trying to provide value.
There we go. Well, we will let Andy say something, but he's on vacation, so I don't know if he'll unmute to talk.
You want to mute and talk? I'm talking, Andy. You sitting there? Andy's up in Maine with the family, very dedicated, setting it up, got us recording.
Oh, yeah. Even when sometimes he'll be, he can't right now. But sometimes he'll literally, because, we try to record at a certain time, certain days. But sometimes, when we have guests on, they live in, Australia, the UK, it's like, we got to do different times of recording, and Andy will be at work, I can't talk right now. I'm in my office, but I'm here to record. And it's like, he's really dedicated in that way too, which is awesome. But yeah, so, you know, shout out to Andy, much love to him. But yeah, all right, I guess it's the end of our 1 year episode. Thank you everybody for listening. Thank you for being here, for being a part of our podcasting journey. Looking forward to the next year with you all, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the NFT Catcher podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and learned something new about the exciting world of NFTs. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you really love what you're hearing, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite platform. If you want to stay up to date with the latest news and insights from the NFT space, be sure to follow us on all the socials at NFT Catcher Pod. You can follow Jennifer at Jennifer_Sudo and Michael at NFTicket. I'm your producer, Andy, and I'm at AJC254. Our theme song's by It's Just Los. We always appreciate your feedback and support, which helps us reach more people and bring you informative and engaging content about NFTs. We look forward to bringing you more great NFT content in future episodes. Thanks for listening. Peace.